When someone in your family is going through depression, it's hard to know what to say, and I said everything wrong. I'm Sam. Our family went through it, and I just kept saying, come on, let's get it together. The thing I should have been saying is, let's get you to the center, a place of hope. It's a place for you or a place for someone you love who's struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, eating disorders. So many success stories. It's personal to me. They've actually saved the lives of people I love. If you felt like, I don't know what to do to dig out of this really dark place, and you've tried everything and you can't think of what to do next, make a phone call right now. Call the Center, a Place of Hope.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a number of people, a great number of people, to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the Center, a Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Zach here. Today's program is going to encourage you with a conversation between two godly men, John Smith Baker from Fathers in the Field and my dad, Dr. Tim Clinton. I love my dad. He taught me things no one else in this world could teach me. But today I'd like for us all to think about those who don't have anyone to guide them in a masculine way. There are a lot of boys and girls, young men and women, who have suffered with this shortcoming. I call it a crisis of men. But with the Big C Church and the body of Christ, there is always hope and solution. That's the mission of Fathers in the Field, to step into the gap. John and his team, man, they're a great organization, one that I believe you'll be encouraged by today. So let's listen in now to their story right here on LLFF.
Your new book, Man Enough to Forgive, Healing the Wounds of Fatherhood Abandonment. It's blowing and going. This is a book, I think, for such a time as this. John, we've got a real problem. I think people, you know, kind of look back at the fatherless issue and say, hey, maybe it's getting better, what have you. John, it's not. This is still seriously, I believe it's probably the number one issue facing modern day culture. John, what have you found as you've kind of scanned the landscape of dads and children growing up without dads?
Yeah. Well, it's the sad reality we better come to grips with. We live in a fatherless nation where over 50% of children are being raised or not raised without their biological father in their home. The church is being overwhelmed with the symptoms of fatherlessness, from addictions, workaholicism, pornography, depression, suicide, divorce. So the church is being overrun with this, and they're starting to see the consequences. Men are under attack. Masculinity is under attack. Fatherhood is under attack. And the underlying reason is because Satan knows that that is the battlefront. God gave men a special, divine, ordained purpose in life, and that is to be the pastor, provider, and protector in his creation, in the family, within the church, and that's why Satan is going so hard at it.
John, God has given you an amazing platform. You have a ministry called Fathers in the Field. I love what you do. And what I really love is I see the hand of God in the midst of it, and I see the effectiveness of it. We're talking about changing the lives of our sons and daughters. John, take us back, because this isn't just a calling. This is personal for you. I want our listeners to understand your backdrop. Yeah. There's backwater for everybody.
Yeah, well, thank you. You bring up the tears again. Hopefully, it's been 50 or 60 years now since my dad left. I'm 60 years old now. My dad left when my mom was pregnant with me, wanted her to have an abortion because he had already left and started a new life with a new family, left my three-year-old sister and me behind with my mom to fend for ourselves. I felt hunger, loneliness, sadness, all those things. And praise God that now I know why he took me through that, so I could speak and be the voice for the fatherless and understand what they need to heal. And so I knew there was something missing in my life. And I spent my entire life trying to fill that void through accomplishment. See, 85% of these fathers' children, they rebel and give up, and they create all the havoc in the world through rebellion and destruction. They wanted the world to know how hurt they are. The other 15%, like me, decide to fight for my father's return and affection. Why wouldn't he love me? Look how good I am. So I won everything, accomplished everything, succeeded in business. You know, but what I realize is, and this is all before I was saved. I was saved at 40, but I was putting myself first, and that need to feel worthy and accomplished, so I would feel loved. And I put myself first, and I was on the road that led to divorce. And if I was not saved by God Almighty, I know I would have abandoned my children through divorce. And so, thankfully, He saved me when He did, and He immediately put me on a path to give up the world and start a ministry called Fathers in the Field, where we intentionally deal with their father wound inside them through godly men through the local church. And it's just been an unbelievable ride. We have seen the fruit and impact of godly men that they can have on the next generation, because we know the tsunami is on its way. We're 50%, over 50% fatherless. The inner city, 75%. We know what that destruction looks like. So the delta is less than 20% now, that we better get our act together, or the huge wave is going to hit our land.
John, I remember coaching the boys growing up, my son Zach, and we had a little team called the Mustangs, baseball team, and we had pure joy. But I learned, and it didn't take very long, it doesn't take much to pick out the kids on a team who don't have a dad.
Yes.
And John, it began to sober me, because I began to realize what it must be like to grow up without a dad. My dad was a pastor, probably the kindest man I've ever met in my whole life, John, so it was foreign to me. Yeah. But at the same time, I began to realize, I remember doing an interview not long ago, prominent pastor out of Nashville. We're in the middle of the conversation, and he stopped me and he said, "Tim, this is the most life-changing day for me in my entire life." And I said, "What happened?" Here he is. He said, "Tim, I'm 51 years old right now today, and my dad, for the first time in my life, told me he loved me."
Wow.
And then he couldn't breathe. John, I mean, he began to weep. This is a giant of a man.
Yeah.
Of what it meant to hear those words from his own father. He had never heard them before. John, my son Zach, who co-hosts the broadcast here, Zach said, "Dad, I believed if we could fix the fatherlessness issue, there would be a lot less kids showing up in my clinical office," because he works with children. And John, father wounds. Talk to us about what a father wound is, and why it's so significant, why it goes so deep into our DNA. Why does it affect our trajectory so much?
Yeah, it's a great question. And as a society, we try to blow it off. But the fatherless wound strikes at the very core of one's soul, because the father-son relationship is the foundation of the world. And that's how God set it up, for the family to be a picture of His church and His love for His children. And so when that father abandons his role of pastor, provider, and protector, and you can't fulfill those roles unless you're in the home, So divorce creates this wound. I don't care what the culture said. It's just not because the dad died. But there is a break in the cup when there's a divorce. And that's not meant to be mean because we live in a sinful world. But we have to realize that it cuts deep to the soul. And there's always consequences when God's plan is not fulfilled like he designed it. So that father wound cannot be healed unless the supernatural work, in my opinion, of the Holy Spirit, because it's the deepest of wound a child will ever feel. It might be a lot of sins and destruction in someone's life, but the man, the father, in these boys' lives in particular, is meant to be the hero. And this child knows his hero, his protector, his provider, his pastor, threw him away like garbage. And that is so destructive on the well-being of a soul, because God created it for us to have a shepherd to shepherd us into godly manhood. And these children know from day one that they are behind the curve when their dad is gone.
John, I'm thinking about maybe some men who are listening right now who, as a boy, they experienced some horrific things. Maybe they watched mom being mistreated or hurt, God forbid. Or maybe, John, they were violated in some way, whether it was emotionally, physically, or what have you. Who knows what the story is, but they know. John, how did they begin to rise above that? You talk about the issue of forgiveness and how important it was in your personal journey. Can you share that with us?
You bet. I mean, listen, as men, we think we can muscle up enough strength to move on. So we use those words, or to get over it. Those are all just silliness concerning a deep soul wound. What compounds it then is the culture tells us, and even though they're well-meaning, that you don't need a dad, big boys don't cry, you'll get over it. That they just suppress then this deepest of festering wound in their soul. And it controls their whole life until they deal with it. Deal with it. And because it's a deepest of wound, and unforgiveness is a sin. So God addresses this. Unforgiveness is a sin. Every fatherless boy will say, I will never, ever forgive my father for leaving. That's what they tell themselves multiple times a day. I will never, ever forgive him. And then they start moving on and say, well, it's a chip on my shoulder. I use it for my success, or they blame it and have an identity that's why I struggle my entire life is because I was fatherless. So the both ends. And what the message of Man Enough to Forgive is that forgiveness is the path to healing. And I deal with men all the time. And a lot of times they say, you just don't understand. And my response to them is, you're right. I may not understand your story, but the person who gave us the command to forgive does. And he still gave that command anyway. And that's why you have to forgive. It's a masculine challenge in a way for men to forgive their deepest wound, because that is what the devil is using to hold them back to be the man God intended them to be. None of us escape this broken, damaged, sinful world without wounds and scars and brokenness and sadness. None of us. God understands that. But forgiveness is the path to healing and allowing you to get over the hurdle to be the man God intended you to be. Unforgiveness is a sin and breaks fellowship with your Heavenly Father and puts a huge stumbling block in front of your path to achieve the things God wants you to achieve.
But John, you don't understand. My dad, what I went through, what I experienced, I want to punch him in the face. You know, that I don't ever want to see him again. He's violated me that much. Amen. You know that? You ought to live in my shoes, John. You can hear the pushback. You know what I'm saying? And they're saying, I'm not doing that. What if a man, what do you say to the man who's holding on to hate and harboring it in his heart? The truth is it's eating him anyway. It's hurting him because he's holding on to something he can't get rid of.
Yeah. Amen. Well, first of all, so many things in the Bible, two things can be true at the same time. And we have to understand that as humans. God is a supreme being. So listen, you should, we tell boys all the time in our ministry, you should be angry. You should be hurt. You should be sad. That is a natural, normal reaction. But the Bible is clear again. Don't be sinful in your anger.
You're listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, co-host of the broadcast. Our special guest today is John Smith Baker. John's a good friend, has a massive ministry called Fathers in the Field, has a new book out called Man Enough to Forgive, Healing the Wounds of Fatherhood Abandonment. It's a really tough issue. And John, I know that we're coming down pretty strong here for a moment because I know the passion in your heart.
Yeah.
John, I wanted to ask you, what happened when you finally forgave your father?
Oh, man. Listen, you know, when I had a road to Damascus experience, pulled off the side of the road, you know, late at night, trying to rush to meet my uncle, the one man who did stand up in my life sometimes. And I was on my hands and knees begging for God's forgiveness because I saw all the horrible sins, disgusting, horrible, wretched sins that I committed all through my life. But I thought I was done. And I heard the Heavenly Father say to me, John, no. Now you need to forgive your earthly father for abandoning you. And you see, that was the deepest of sin in me. Even all those other wretched sins, that's the sin I didn't want to repent of. And God made it crystal clear to me. No, you need to do that. There's only one unforgivable sin in the Bible that God mentions, and that is unbelief in the Heavenly Father. So even though we think some of these dastardly things that have been done to us are unforgivable sins, that is a lie from the pit of hell. There's only one, and that's unbelief. And when I repented and finally gave up that sin of unforgiveness, that is when I felt the Holy Spirit enter me. That is when I knew I was clean. That's when I knew I was a new creation, born again, that I could live for God Almighty. And now, finally, be the man God intended me to be. It doesn't mean I don't have scars. I don't walk with a limp because of all the wounds, but I am healed. None of us get through this life without scars and limps and bruises. But that does not negate God's very clear command to forgive.
John, what if you are married to that man? Yeah. Or you're raising that boy, yeah. And you're disheartened because you can see the woundedness in their eyes.
Yeah,
you can see the cry for some type of fix. You can see them reaching for anything to anesthetize the pain.
Yeah.
And you just don't know what to do. You can't hold them enough. You can't hold them close enough because there's something. There's something there that you can't step into. And I want to applaud all the moms out there, for example, these single-parent moms who are doing a yeoman's job, and they realize the magnitude of this problem they've got.
Yes, they do.
And they're probably angry at, say, their son's dad anyway because of the brokenness in their relationship and more. Yep. And so this is a tough journey. John, help us all because, seriously, this stuff isn't going away, and we've got to fix it. We've got to do something.
Yeah. Well, there's two points, right? There's the mom's and the dad's perspective. But both of them, this one thing that I share all the time, they both have to do. They both have to acknowledge this deep, broken pain. Do not skim over it in your well intentions. Do not tell them that they don't need a dad. Big boys don't cry. You'll get over it. No. Acknowledge the pain. Say to them, I understand you're angry. You should be angry. I understand you're hurt. You should be hurt because there's always consequences when God's plan is broken. And we cannot, as humans, as the created, pretend there's not. So as a mom, I say, please tell your son that you understand he's hurting. You understand he misses his dad, that he's lonely. But there's a heavenly father that loves him and created him for a great purpose. And that he's going to have to deal with this hurt at some point. He's going to have to deal with it. And if he doesn't, it will control his whole life. And there's nothing this mom can do about it. But she needs to start speaking truth into his life and not avoid it. Because when moms avoid this, or extended family avoid this issue, these boys stuff this festering wound deeper and deeper and deeper inside of them. And it's harder and harder to deal with. What has to happen is this wound has to be brought to light to be healed. So don't, as a parent or a well-meaning coach or well-meaning counselor or any, tell them that it doesn't matter. It matters. And they need to start dealing with and start helping them deal with it. And part of dealing with them is say, we live in a broken world and all kinds of things are going to happen. That is why Christ had to come, live a perfect life, and die a painful, shameful death on the cross, because all of us need a Savior. And it all has to do with being forgiven, because, listen, son, you're going to make mistakes. Your dad made a mistake. I made a mistake. And that's why we all need a Savior.
Listen, don't turn away from it. Step into it and ask God how you can be that healing salve, how you can be an agent with his grace, with his power, so you can unlock that brokenness and free him to live a life of abundance, of feeling loved and having a capacity to love. John, we got to close. We're fighting time here. You don't just curse the darkness. You're lighting a candle. You're bringing light to this issue. You've started a massive ministry, Fathers in the Field. Give us a quick shakedown on Fathers in the Field and how people can learn more about you, the ministry, and how they can be involved in helping us battle fatherlessness in modern-day culture.
Yes, thank you. As a ministry of Fathers in the Field, we go and come alongside the local church. We convict the church and say, listen, we can have a positive impact on this culture. We can mobilize all these godly men in your church, and they can be mentor fathers in the life of all these fatherless boys. Men, don't believe the lies. Because of your past, because we all have dark pasts and sinful pasts, don't believe the lie that you can't serve the kingdom. You can have a mighty impact, man. Don't let the devil put you on the sidelines. Get in the game. Get in the battle. Swing the sword of truth and life in this dark world.
Our special guest again today has been John Smith Baker. Massive ministry called Fathers in the Field. If you don't know anything about it, get up online, figure it out. Hey, if you don't have a chapter in your local church or what have you, get that going right now. We've got to do something. We've got to stem the tide here with this whole fatherless epidemic that we see. And if you don't have a copy of his new book, get it. Man Enough to Forgive, Healing the Wounds of Fatherhood Abandonment for Both Men and Women. It's an incredible resource to speak into your life. And by the way, get set free. John, what a delight to have you. Hey, on behalf of my son, Zach, and all we're doing here at the American Association of Christian Counselors, we salute you and pray God will continue to bless you and embolden your voice for such a time as this. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, brother.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
If someone in your family has depression or anxiety, it's hard to know what to do. We went through that. I'm Sam. The center is a place of hope. Lives are being healed. God is changing families.
Coming to the center it's just life altering. My relationship with my husband, my relationship with my family.
Struggling to keep it all together, or no one knows, or you're hiding things, or you feel like you've hit some crisis.
It's amazing to think that there could be so much change.
Man, I'm so grateful for the center. It's so helpful for me, and I'm so hopeful.
The center, a place of hope. Call today. A lot of people are surprised that insurance can help cover this.
Dive in, give yourself all to it. Watch what happens.
Call the Center, a Place of Hope, right now.
Hey, this is Dr. Tim Clinton, president of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you or someone you love is in a tough spot, stuck, maybe in need of serious help, someone to talk to, you need somebody, I want you to write down this number for the Center, a Place of Hope. The number is 888-726-8125. That number again, 888-726-8125. I think if you write that number down, you're going to be glad you did. I have referred a great number of people to this ministry for special mental health care. They're outstanding. I can give them highest praise. That number again, 888-726-8125. Speak to our colleagues, the admissions team at the center. A Place of Hope. Asking for help is hard. Finding help shouldn't be, especially Christ-centered help. Our friends at A Place for Hope, they're here to help. I hope you'll call today, and may God bless you.